RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening with you for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your karaoke machine, your answering machine, your BlackBerry, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there producing the show on the other side of the glass. Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a bunch of stuff to get into with you here this evening. Let's start with the Atlanta Braves as they begin their longest homestand of the year. So they will take on the Seattle Mariners and wrap up this, I think it was, 14 games that they had in interleague play? You know, it seems like for the last month it's all been about interleague play, But they'll wrap up this weekend as they get ready for what we have termed, I mean, you know, look, this will be must-watch baseball next week. Dodgers and then four games with Philadelphia. And I don't want to say it's going to be a measuring stick or anything for the Braves, because we know the Braves are one or two best teams in all of the National League, maybe one of the two or three best teams in all of Major League Baseball. So I don't think it's a measuring stick per se, but it would be fun to just see the Braves go out there and just take care of business. You know, take a couple of games against the Dodgers, take three out of four from Philadelphia, full bullful, and do your thing. Now, tonight's matchup, Bryce Elder is on the mound for the Atlanta Braves, and, of course, they will be in the home Reds. Now, here's the thing that stinks, though. Okay, and I understand that it is what it is with this TV package stuff, but the game is on, what is it, Pear TV?
It's Apple TV tonight.
All right, so yeah. Grape TV, obviously we don't have the, Pineapple TV here in studio or anything like that, so we'll try to keep you updated about everything that's going on, but I don't know. I know that they're, you know, streaming now and making money, and, you know, the first ever game is going to be, you know, a playoff game is going to be on Peacock, and, you know, okay, all right, you know, whatever. So here's what I can tell you. I'm not signing up for all these TV streaming service things or whatever like that. I got the Peacock. That's because I want to watch the wrestling pay-per-views. Outside of that, I ain't doing it. So we'll keep you up to date, but Bryce Elder on the mound. He of the 3-0, 194 ERA mark, and he's quickly becoming, you know, look, Strider's the ace of this staff, and I don't want to say just by attrition because of the injuries and things like that, but Strider's the ace of the staff, and Bryce Elder is right there on his heels. Bryce Elder's been outstanding this year and pitched so many good games down the stretch last year for this team and had so many big moments that he's really embraced this and taken it right to the next level as he came into this season. So he's been good all the way around. We'll see if the Braves can, keep things going at home. You know, believe it or not, I mean, they're 17-7 at home, only 10-9 at Truist Park. 10-9. The Mariners are actually 11-10 on the road. They're a game above 500, but they're a game above 500 on the road. So a lot of these crazy numbers about road teams, but Braves have been outstanding on the road. Let's see now if they can pile up some wins at Truist Park, right? You know, they always talk about take care of your home record and then be 500 on the road. You'll be a really good team. Well, the Braves have been just ridiculously good on the road, but they've been very average at home thus far. So we'll see if that trend can be snapped or that streak can be snapped or what have you in all of it as the Braves take on the Mariners. That would be a 7:20 first pitch tonight. We'll talk to our buddy Jason Longshore coming up at 7:40. Coming off that big win against Colorado where they just thrashed him, right? I mean, that's the thing about it. That's what made me feel better, is the idea that they didn't just beat, you know, they didn't just hang on for dear life to beat the Colorado Rapids or whatever. What are they called? The Colorado Mountaintop FCers or whatever they're called. The fact they kicked the crap out of Colorado. Now they got to go on the road. They go on the road this Saturday and next Saturday. So let's see how they bounce back with going on the road. I mean, look, would like to see 3 points, but I'll take one. You know, I would very much like to see them figure out a way to get 3 points in this match coming up tomorrow. But worst case is I'll take a point. I'll take a point on the road. At least get me a point on the road every time you go there and then try to find a way to squeeze out a few three-pointers. So Atlanta United will be in Chicago. That's tomorrow night. That is an 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 kick with Jason Longshore and Mike Connie. They will have the call for all of that. Mike and them's already up in Chicago, right? I'm assuming Jason Longshore is already up in Chicago. Is he already up there?
Yeah, he may be. I know he does some other soccer stuff too, so he could be going from one spot to the other. I just know that he said he would join us.
Well, he certainly Mike Connie.
Yeah, Mike is definitely there.
Yeah, he's definitely there because he wants to get into, you know, all the food and things like that in Chicago. So Chicago,
can't blame him.
Yeah, Chicago.
That's one place I've never been. I had a layover, but not long enough to leave the airport.
I have been. I was a real young Ute when I went to Chicago. I went to Chicago twice as a Ute. I don't necessarily remember a tremendous about Chicago. I remember being stuck in O'Hare Airport for god awful long time with snowstorms and things like that.
Right.
And then trying to get back to, you know, Ohio. But, you know, I remember being stuck in all the snow and things like that. But I obviously not as an adult. I was a young kid and my mom had some conventions in Chicago and things like that when she used to travel. So I just remember barely being there. So, but it's a great town. I mean, listen, I mean, Sinatra sang about it, so must be a good town. So RIP to Jim Brown. Look, we'll get more into this, into That's Life and things like that. Jim Brown was my dad's favorite player. That was my dad's favorite player. My dad was a big Browns fan. He's a big Ohio guy, right? He's Cleveland Indians, Cavaliers, but big Browns fan, Ohio State fan. Jim Brown was his favorite player. And so many things about Jim Brown that are just fascinating. I mean, you know, obviously the way he retired, when he retired on top, he led the league in rushing for 9 straight years. And then he says, okay, you know, I want to make this movie and I'm going to do what I got to do and I'm going to pursue other adventures and things like that, where Art Modell was like, well, you need to get back here and play football. No, Art, I really don't. And he retired on top. Obviously was the NFL rushing leader of all time when he retired. And again, it's a different league now. I mean, we're playing 17 games now. What do you think Jim Brown would do in 17 games, you know, even in today's modern NFL? And by the way, he's not just in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's also in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame. A lot of people think he's the best lacrosse player of all time. Played at Syracuse. Probably was screwed out of the Heisman. That was when Dick Schaap said that he would never vote in the Heisman Trophy race again, where Paul Hornung, who, listen, I love Paul Hornung, and he's one of the ultimate guys, right? But Jim Brown probably should have won the Heisman the year that Hornung did. And what, I think Notre Dame was 3-9 or something like that. Like, they had a dreadful record. And he played quarterback, he was halfback, he was kicker, he was punter, safety or corner, whatever he was. I mean, he played everywhere, right? Like, guys did that back in those days. But he was everywhere, and he was the golden boy. He had finished, look, in those days, if you finished as the runner-up for the Heisman the previous season before your final year, you were most likely going to win the Heisman that next year. There was a trend there where, okay, this guy's the runner-up for the Heisman. Now we make him the Heisman Trophy winner. But Jim Brown should have won the Heisman Trophy at Syracuse. So, great athlete. Look, he had some things in his personal life. I mean, you know, I'm not going to excuse all of that. But I think when you look at the totality of what Jim Brown was, obviously, you know, the civil rights movement and things like that. I mean, he was, you know, certainly a guy that was not afraid to speak his mind. Both for and against, you know, the movement and things like that. So just a legendary figure, a legendary athlete, but more than just an athlete, right? I mean, he was more than just an athlete. He was more than just a football player. And that's how he viewed himself as, you know. I don't know if he was a great actor, but, I mean, he was in some big-time movies. But, no, again, he was a guy that viewed himself as much more and much bigger than just being a football player, right? You know, guys like, you know, him, Bill Russell, and people like that, like they were the guys that led the way. Because, again, you know, when you have the civil rights movement, you know, it took some of these faces as athletes. Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell, Jim Brown, like those guys were at the forefront of everything where they were speaking their mind. And Jim Brown was never a guy who was afraid to speak his mind. But certainly, obviously, as I said, my dad said he was the best football player he's ever seen. I've heard all kinds of stories from people about his greatness as a football player, not just as a running back. Let me make that clear. He wasn't just a great running back. He may be the best football player of all time. I think there's a short list of guys, LT, Jerry Rice, Jim Brown, like those are arguably the best football players of all time, regardless of position and things like that. Those are some of the best football players in NFL history. So RIP the great Jim Brown, 87 years old, lived a hell of a life, and he will never be forgotten. With his legacy of what he did on the field, off the field, it will never be forgotten.
Real quick, too, as you talked about the civil rights, his involvement, mm-hmm. did you know there was a movie called One Night in Miami? Came out last year, and I want to say Regina King.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So it's about him, yes. Malcolm X, yes. and Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
And who was the fourth person? Oh, Sam Cooke. And mm-hmm. it's about like them getting together, discussing.
Unfortunately, he met a tragic end.
Yeah,
of Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
In that hotel room where he was shot and
yeah,
killed.
Yeah. But it's about them getting together and discussing their roles and their involvement in civil rights.
Have you ever seen the it's on chick flicks. the documentary on Sam Cooke?
No.
Fascinating.
Really? I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's on the chick flicks, whatever that thing is, the
Netflix,
streaming thing.
Netflix, yeah, I
right,
got you.
Chick flicks, that's what I said. I mean, so it's on that streaming show, but it's a fascinating documentary about Sam Cooke. And he was massively influential. I mean, one of the most influential artists, you know, in the early days of music, R&B, you know, just, mm-hmm. I mean, all those, and all those guys had a hand in influencing rock and roll stars and things like that, right? I mean, the Beatles,
right.
the everybody, Elvis and everybody, they were all influenced by guys like Sam Cooke. So,
mm-hmm.
but his story is fascinating. I mean,
okay.
unfortunately, the tragic end of everything, but it's a fascinating story, the Sam Cooke story. So
all
check
right.
that out on,
I definitely will.
On whatever, FUBU or Chick Flicks or whatever the thing is called out there. Lakers now down 0-2. You know, we were talking about the game, and, you know, the game was kind of close, competitive, this, that, and the other, and then all of a sudden Denver just ran away with it in the fourth quarter, and they obviously now are up 2-0. I still see a lot of people that think that the Lakers are going to win this series, Day-Day, that the Lakers are going to come back from 2-0.
The Lakers have to sweep at home. They can't split.
Oh no! Yeah,
they can't split. That's
yeah.
that for me. That's the only way it happens. And I don't know. Like, I know Jamal Murray went off in the fourth quarter
yeah.
after being quiet early. Joker didn't even score in the fourth quarter.
He didn't have to.
I mean, yeah. Granted, he didn't have to. But I'm just saying that just goes to show, like, he was able to. I don't want to say take a quarter off
because they start. What did we say last night? They started off the fourth quarter outscoring the Lakers like 25
yeah.
to 12 or something
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so and at that point, Joker had like 24, 16,
right.
and 12.
Yeah.
Like he already had a triple. That
yep.
was two games in a row where he's had a triple double just going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They didn't even need to do anything with it. So
yeah.
they're up 2-0 now. I guess we got Miami Heat.
Yeah, Miami
and,
Boston
in Boston tonight. So that'll be game two. So all right, when we get back. Was heard or right? We're going to open up the phone lines to you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll let you hear what Kevin Huerter had to say about the downfall of the Atlanta Hawks, and you can get a chance to respond. 404-726-0929. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Key Studios with you. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We are opening up the phone lines in this segment. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. So Kevin Herter, by the way, we'll talk to Jason Longshore here in about 20 minutes from right now. Former Atlanta Hawk Kevin Herter was on the Old Man and the Three podcast. That is hosted by J.J. Redick and Tommy Alter. And I thought he had an interesting comment about his former team in the Atlanta Hawks. And he talks about in this clip, and this is a lengthy clip. It's a little bit more than a minute, but I want you to hear it so that, again, as my guy Eric Bischoff says, context is king. Let me let you hear what Kevin Herter told J.J. Redick and Tommy Alter on the podcast about where it went wrong for the Atlanta Hawks.
100%. And that was almost like the start of our downfall was the run that we went on. We won before we were expected to win or before we should have won, let's call it. And, you know, that run, I think we were the 5 seed beating Philly as the number 1 seed. Our fans didn't expect us to get that point. The NBA didn't expect us to. And that just put a fast forward on our timeline. I don't think our team as a whole was fully at that point. And so then we went into the next season with a similar roster. And if every year we're trying to build and get better, we were first round exit. So it's not like we would have built from a first series win. But the expectations of that team just went through the roof the next year because we made a conference finals. And it was, all right, conference finals or bust. And maybe as a unit, like that wasn't where we were there yet. You talk about like skipping steps. I would say that team skipped a step and we overachieved for that year. We won on a great run that ultimately 2 years later, all these expectations that had happened, everyone thought like, all right, we got to make a lot of changes because now we're failing as a team. When In reality, we might not have consistently built to that point anyway. And I think we were getting there. We were building. It never came to fruition. So,
and I understand and appreciate what he's saying. I don't agree with him, though. I don't think the expectation was conference finals or bust for this team. I think fans knew that they had overachieved. And let me just say, I wouldn't trade that run for anything. That was a miraculous run, fantastic run. It was loads of fun beating Philadelphia and then lining up against Milwaukee, right? You know, beating the Knicks in the first series, then beating Philadelphia, who was 29-7 at home that year. I wouldn't trade that for anything. But I don't think that their expectation was, well, we're going to be in the conference finals every year. You know, look, one of the things that happened was our star player went in front of the media and said, well, we don't really care about the regular season. You know, it's all about the playoffs. So they set that expectation more than the fans did. When your star player is coming out and saying that, well, you know, we don't care about the – we just want to get to the playoffs. Okay. Well, that's their expectation. That wasn't our expectation. We expected to be a good regular season team. And I don't think anybody was look, there's always a fringe of fans that say, well, we got to be better than all that kind of stuff. But they have never capitalized on that season. You know, it's not like they've even gotten close to that. They've had two first-round exits and 2 years in the play-in tournament. You know, they were the 5 seed that year only because the Knicks beat them head-to-head 3-0. They had the 4th-best record in the Eastern Conference that year. I don't think we're expecting them to be 1-2 and, you know, all that stuff. But you mean to tell me that we couldn't have been 4, 5, 6 somewhere around there? Not 9 or 10 or whatever we were this year, right? Well, wait. We were 8 this year, 9 the last year. That's a big fall from where you were a couple of years ago. I mean, it's not like that. Okay, we're middle of the pack, but we're in the first round. No, you've had to go through all these fakakta playing games. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have your star player come out and say, well, we don't care about the regular season. We just want to go into the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. And then say that, well, that was the downfall of our organization. I'm not buying that. I'm not with that. Now, have we got Steve Kuenen? You got Steve Kuenen's reaction? Okay. Steve Kuenen on Fridays with Dukes and Bell. He had this to say about what Kevin Huerter had said on that podcast.
I think it's pretty obvious that there's no guarantees in sports. And I think what happened with us came so out of the blue in 2021. We finished the year really strong. It was a COVID year. We came into the playoffs playing the Knicks, which brought a microscope onto us because it was the first time the Knicks had been in the playoffs in a decade. Then we beat the number one seed in Philadelphia. Then we played Milwaukee even till Trey got hurt. So, of course, if you remember, one of our star players said in the second game of the season, the regular season's boring compared to the playoffs. And you kind of... Yeah. You know, collect your pearls and go, oh, my God, you know. And it's interesting because if you've read what Spoelstra said and Jimmy Butler in Miami have said and Kyle Lowry, if we did not have the regular season the way it was this year, we would never be ready for prime time now. So it's perspective. The grizzled veterans in Miami knew the regular season would be steel sharpening steel and getting them ready. And remember, we beat Miami by 20 points going away in the play-in game, and they, except for a fourth quarter comeback, would have been out of this. And then we were, a lot of times I say on this show, when I used to be given the phone number to dial in, we used to say
wow. I'm sorry.
That
Okay, so again, just a bunch of hoo-ha at the end there. Look, the other part about this, too, is this team should have naturally been better just because of being a year. Listen to the ages of that team that went to the Eastern Conference Final. Trey was 22. Herter was 22. Capella was 26. Bogey was 28. DeAndre Hunter was 23. John Collins, 23. Cam Reddish, 21. Even guys like Gallinari, 32. Solomon Hill, 29. You had the vast, Okongwu was a rookie, 20 years old. You had the vast majority of your guys that were really young that did not mature to the next level, that did not mature in taking that step. Now, look, the reason Kevin Herter was traded was not because he wasn't a good player or did some, you know, bad thing. He was traded because they wanted to get on the luxury tax. Why? Because they were looking at it and saying, Tony Ressler, like, again, if he's out in the theory of, well, we'll go in the luxury tax when it makes sense, well, why would it make sense to be the number 9 seed going into the luxury tax and you're not a very good franchise? Why would that have made sense? I don't agree necessarily, because I think you have to get into the luxury tax to keep building your team and getting better. But they were young, and they did not progress on this team. And that's the reason they brought everybody back, was because they're all young. Like, they weren't a grizzled veteran team. They had some players that were older. Gallinari was 32. Lou Williams, 34. You know, they'd gotten rid of Rajon Rondo. But they had a couple few older guys. But they were all under 25 years old, by and large. You weren't just going to blow that team up or anything. You expected them to mature and take the next step. But I think as fans, that we were looking like, okay, this could be the start of something good. And it wasn't. And this team regressed. And when your star player is coming out, it wasn't me that said it. What wasn't me that said, oh, forget the regular season. I didn't say that. Did you say that, Day-Day?
No.
Okay. The guy who's the face of our franchise said that. Sorry, I mean, again, I know, Trey, okay, I get it. If you're the Trey Stan and all that, I mean, again, it's not that he does 100% of everything right. But if you can't understand that the regular season dictates a lot, and we've talked about this, how many NBA guys have we had on over the last few weeks? Like, what the heck was Miami doing during the regular season? Sleepwalking? And then they realized that we have to turn it on. They were the number one seed last year. They're eighth this year when the playoffs started. Eighth. But you can't have it both ways. It can't be that, you know, we don't care about the regular season, but there was too much expectation. No, there wasn't. There might have been fringe people that thought that. But the majority of people weren't like, okay, well, we're going to start winning NBA titles every year now. No, you have to progress. You still didn't get through Milwaukee. They were still a better franchise than what you were. But I think a lot of people looked at it as like, hey, man, this was a miraculous run, but let's see if it's the start of something good. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. And now we're at this point where we have a completely new front office. We don't have the same general manager. We don't have the same people as far as personnel in the front office. We have the owner's son now that has an influence in the room. We have a head coach now that's different, who's probably having a say in personnel. That didn't just happen because we didn't go to the Eastern Conference Finals the year after, or that's what the expectation was. This thing has been a steady decline quickly. You know, like if you're on a ladder, okay, and you climb up some steps and then you like stumble, but you fall down 4 steps. That's the Hawks. They were getting 1 step at a time, climbing up, and then they fell 6 steps. Then they stepped up 1-2 steps, then they fell 7 more steps. That's the Hawks. Their descent was much faster than what their ascent was. So again, I will say, I don't believe I don't believe that. I'm not saying Kevin Huerter is lying or anything like that. That's what he perceives and that's what he believes. I don't think that's reality. I don't think that's the truth. But we have never capitalized off that season to where we can even just say, you know, okay, we've been, you know, at least a consistent playoff team. No, we've bottomed out. We're barely hanging on for dear life in a fakakta play-in tournament where the whole league is expanded to where it's, you know, like the hockey playoffs now. Everybody goes in. And that's the frustrating part, is that there hasn't been one thing that we have built off of since that season. There hasn't been one shining example, even of players, that built off of that. Trae Young was a guy, after that playoff run, he could do no wrong. No wrong. He was the babe, the boy, as Bo Bock would say. And it's not replicated that since. And when your star player comes out and says, hey, regular season doesn't matter. Okay, that's what he says. That's what we're going to believe. Oh, we're not very good in the playoffs? Oh, well, now what's happening? Can't have it both ways. Jason Longshore going to join us when we get back. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, not to the game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday night with you. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Atlanta United gets ready for action coming up tomorrow night after a very successful match against Colorado on this past Wednesday night. Now they're up in Chi-Town, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 kick. This gentleman will be part of the call, along with Mike Connie. Jason Longshore joins us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on his Twitter page, at Longshoe. Jason, my friend, as always, appreciate the time this evening.
No, thanks for having me on.
You know, it feels like that this match was about 10 days late because you and I had talked about, okay, let's have a get-right game against Charlotte about, you know, whatever, 10 days ago or whatever it's been, or 2 weeks or whatever it's been at that point. That felt like the get-right game on Wednesday night for Atlanta United, as they just came out and did what they had to do.
Yeah, it's twofold. I mean, the style of play from Atlanta United wasn't any different. The tactics are going to change game to game. I think, you know, when we talk about the way a team plays, it's more of a permanent thing. It's a game model. It's a style of play. And the style's been consistent for Atlanta United. The biggest difference on Wednesday is you had patience going forward, even after a missed penalty, and get that opening goal. And when this team gets an opening goal against these teams that want to sit back and defend, those teams then have to come out and play a little bit. That opens up even more space, and that's where Atlanta United can thrive. Chicago's a little different. We saw them recently. They don't sit back and defend as deep, and at home, they should come out and play a little bit from the beginning, which is a good thing for Atlanta United. But in these games that we've had here lately against Colorado and Charlotte and Nashville and Miami, all teams that want to get numbers behind the ball and sit deep, you've got to get the first goal against them.
You know, I brought this up the other night on the show, and I do think it's interesting. And I know things have changed here in this last match. United is now a +4 in goal differential. But before that match on Wednesday, they were the second leading goal scoring team with 21 goals, but they had a goal differential of 0. And if you looked at the top 6 goal scoring teams, the 5 other teams around them, +7, +9, +10, you know, I think one was +8 or whatever like that. Why do you think that Atlanta United is just so different than that? There's such a prolific scoring team, But boy, they give up a lot of goals along with it.
Yeah, they're giving up too many goals. That's something that has to improve for this team to continue climbing the ladder in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you do have to keep in mind you had that one outlying game, the 6-1 in Columbus, which is a big minus five that sits on your number. But Atlanta's got to be better defensively. You've got to be able to win some tight games where, look, I feel confident about this team scoring goals all season long. They've scored in every game so far, and they've scored in a lot of different ways as well. But they've got to be better defensively to win those tight games when you get late in the season and you get into the playoffs.
Jason Longshore joining us, the WaitForIt.com hotline, covering all things Atlanta. Are you in Chicago, by the way?
I am in Chicago. I am waiting to go in and have some dinner at an old family German restaurant.
Are you like Sinatra? Are you singing My Kind of Town and all that? Just skipping down the street with a fedora on or what?
No, I don't have a fedora on tonight, no.
Okay, all right. But you are skipping down the street. Anyway.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's just the usual thing.
Right. Listen, you call that Friday. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, look. This Chicago team, they're 13th in the Eastern Conference. You know, only 14 points, minus three goal differential. Does this feel like one of those times where we need to find a three-point victory on the road? Does this feel like one of those moments where, okay, let's go in here and steal one and grab us 3 points on the road?
Yeah, 100%. And the thing that I do really like about Atlanta United in 2023 is, if you compare the way that they've played on the road versus the way that they've played at home, and I'm not talking results, I'm talking about the way they've played, the approach, they play the same. They don't go on the road and sit back and just try to be a counter-attacking team. And I think against a team like Chicago, who, you know, even in the game when they were on the road, they didn't sit back deep. They really played a little bit more of a, now, I guess the best way to put it in general terms would be like a midfield trap. Like in the middle third, they were trying to create traps, and they were really difficult to play through there. And it was different than Atlanta United had seen, and they struggled with it. In a game at Soldier Field for Chicago where they need points, they've got a new manager in charge in Frank Klopas right now, and they're coming off of a disappointing game on the road where they had a 1-0 lead in Charlotte and ended up losing 2-1. I think Chicago is going to open up and try to play and get numbers forward, which will then present space to Atlanta United. And the way that they play, even on the road, they're going to take advantage of that space. This is a very winnable game for Atlanta United on the road tomorrow.
So let's talk about, obviously, the big move that happened the other day is Araujo is now going to, what is it, Flamencos? They're doing a dance or Flamingos or whatever it is. But no,
we'll get you up on the Brazilian team here soon, Flamengo.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Gesundheit. But anyway, look, the thing I'm interested in is this the start of a lot of, I don't want to say a lot maybe, but definite tweaks to what this roster is going to be through the summertime as you get toward the end of the season. I mean, look, if they can get eight figures for him, you get eight figures for him, right? And I think that there are, you know, obviously Almada and some other guys, but is this kind of the start of, okay, we're going to retool this thing and we're going to capitalize on the success that some of these guys have had for us?
I think it's maybe the continuation of that, because go back to the last offseason where you had to make some moves to clear your cap space to be able to add a couple of strategic elements. Now, look, the wild card is going to be Almada, because you just don't know when we're talking about a player with the kind of price tag that Thiago Almada could be demanding here, or could be getting from teams. And, I mean, he's going to want to get paid as well, but this is more about the transfer fee portion of it. That's a huge move, and you just don't know if it happens in the summer. You don't know if it happens in the winter. You don't know if it happens in the summer and he's loaned back for the rest of the season. This could happen. I mean, with Thiago, it could be an early in the transfer window thing where we're talking about July. It could be late in August where we're talking about this. And I think the later it goes that he doesn't get transferred out, the more it opens the possibility that he stays in Atlanta and finishes the season before joining his new team in the winter transfer window, because he'll miss preseason with his new team. And at that point, it's going to be harder for him to integrate into a new team than to stay here and play and try to win a title. So I think that's one thing to be on the lookout for. And the other is just now, what do you do in terms of replacing the designated player that is Luis Araujo? You know, do you go winger? Do you go like for like? I don't think you go like for like exactly in style of player, but do you go like for like in terms of position? Or do you move the pieces around? I mean, this is a manager in Gonzalo Pineda who has valued versatility in his players. He likes to have guys who can play a couple of different roles. So, you know, do you look for a 10? Do you look for an attacking midfielder immediately, but somebody who is comfortable playing on the wing as well? But then if Almada goes, you've got that cover and you can move him inside. You've got to create a little more versatility, I think, in your attacking pieces. And you can do that now with a designated player opening already.
So what is, I guess, their, for lack of a better term, cap space or things like that? Like, how much can they money-wise allocate to bring guys in? Because, look, this franchise has obviously never been bashful about spending money. Like, they're not pinching penny or pinching pennies and things like that. Like, they will go out and get star caliber players. So is it a matter of they have the resources, you know, with the designated player, but I know that there's money aspects about what you can spend and things like that. Just kind of give me an overview of that aspect of it.
So in terms of the two pieces, the one in Araujo, who we already know is outgoing, and the possibility with Almada, they're two different aspects of the designated player role, and those are separate from the cap. So we don't even have to worry about cap space in this situation. But you do have to worry about Almada is a young designated player versus Araujo, who is not. There's an age cutoff at 23. So to be able to have all the other benefits you get roster-wise with U22 spots, and I mean, we're getting deep into the weeds. The main thing is you've got to have one of the two. If you lose Almada and Araujo, which you already know you're losing one, if you lose both, you've got to replace one of those spots with a young designated player under the age of 23 to keep the rest of your roster intact the way that you want. But Araujo, in terms of just replacing that spot, you can spend what you want. If the designated player spot, he's over that young DP threshold, you can spend what you want in salary and you can spend what you want in transfer fee.
Last question for you, Jason. And I guess I'll phrase it this way. Like, we see young running backs come in the NFL and coaches let them get chewed up and spit out and just burn all the tread off the tire. I mean, because you feel like you only get a few years out of high caliber, high quality running backs. They've got them till June 24th. Do you just burn all the tread off the tires with them? I mean, you know, you do some things differently with him. I mean, just knowing that he's not going to be here for the long term. I guess I don't know how to necessarily phrase it, but, you know, other than just do you let him just kind of play all out and see what he can really do over this next couple few weeks?
Yeah, I think you do. I think, you know, you have to be mindful of fatigue for him and the possibility, you know, that he might need a little bit of time here or there. But, yeah, and I think it's a credit to Araujo and his commitment to the team, because a lot of times in this kind of situation, we see players, when they do these early transfers and they're going to go in the next window, they don't necessarily play that much for the club that they're still at. But I'm assuming in this situation, because, you know, he's on the trip, that you're going to see Luis Araujo be part of this team until that last day he's not. And Gonzalo Pineda talked about it today that, you know, he's incredibly committed to the team. I think it's probably something that was discussed with Flamengo. They're on board with it. And it's a statement, I think, of Luis's character as well, that he wants to end on a high with this club who he's always played hard for. You can talk about the production in terms of goals and assists, but Araujo has been one of the hardest working players in this team, and he really hasn't missed much time in his, you know, almost two seasons here since he joined in late 2021. So I don't think he starts missing time now.
Well, we know he's going to be with Matt Dillon and be part of the Flamingo Kids, so we've got that to look forward to.
Anyway, wow, what a reference.
Yeah. Well, we brought that up last night, so I mean, I couldn't think of the actual movie. I knew it was Flamingo something with Matt Dillon, but I had to get the kid part of it right. I could not remember. So that's I saw that movie in 1984. I can't tell you that with brain dead, you know, ness in my head and all that. I can't remember that kind of stuff. Anyway, Jason Longshore, he is the color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Don't forget, tomorrow night, he and Mike Connie will be up in Chicago. 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 kick. Jason, enjoy the evening. Enjoy your time in Chi-Town, and we will talk to you again here soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, as always.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. PFF has the Falcons offseason grade. That plus some other news and notes as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, now to the game. Odyssey.com app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, Earthplace of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday night with you. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Atlanta United gets ready for action coming up tomorrow night after a very successful match against Colorado on this past Wednesday night. Now they're up in Chi-Town, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 kick. This gentleman will be part of the call, along with Mike Connie. Jason Longshore joins us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on his Twitter page, at Longshoe. Jason, my friend, as always, appreciate the time this evening.
No, thanks for having me on.
You know, it feels like that this match was about 10 days late because you and I had talked about, okay, let's have a get-right game against Charlotte about, you know, whatever, 10 days ago or whatever it's been, or 2 weeks or whatever it's been at that point. That felt like the get-right game on Wednesday night for Atlanta United, as they just came out and did what they had to do.
Yeah, it's twofold. I mean, the style of play from Atlanta United wasn't any different. The tactics are going to change game to game. I think, you know, when we talk about the way a team plays, it's more of a permanent thing. It's a game model. It's a style of play. And the style's been consistent for Atlanta United. The biggest difference on Wednesday is you had patience going forward, even after a missed penalty, and get that opening goal. And when this team gets an opening goal against these teams that want to sit back and defend, those teams then have to come out and play a little bit. That opens up even more space, and that's where Atlanta United can thrive. Chicago's a little different. We saw them recently. They don't sit back and defend as deep, and at home, they should come out and play a little bit from the beginning, which is a good thing for Atlanta United. But in these games that we've had here lately against Colorado and Charlotte and Nashville and Miami, all teams that want to get numbers behind the ball and sit deep, you've got to get the first goal against them.
You know, I brought this up the other night on the show, and I do think it's interesting. And I know things have changed here in this last match. United is now a +4 in goal differential. But before that match on Wednesday, they were the second leading goal scoring team with 21 goals, but they had a goal differential of 0. And if you looked at the top 6 goal scoring teams, the 5 other teams around them, +7, +9, +10, you know, I think one was +8 or whatever like that. Why do you think that Atlanta United is just so different than that they're such a prolific scoring team, but boy, they give up a lot of goals along with it?
Yeah, they're giving up too many goals. That's something that has to improve for this team to continue climbing the ladder in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you do have to keep in mind you had that one outlying game, the 6-1 in Columbus, which is a big -5 that sits on your number. But Atlanta's got to be better defensively. You've got to be able to win some tight games where, look, I feel confident about this team scoring goals all season long. They've scored in every game so far, and they've scored in a lot of different ways as well. But they've got to be better defensively to win those tight games when you get late in the season and you get into the playoffs.
Jason Longshore joining us, the WaitForIt.com hotline, covering all things Atlanta. Are you in Chicago, by the way?
I am in Chicago. I am waiting to go in and have some dinner at an old family German restaurant.
Are you like Sinatra? Are you singing My Kind of Town and all that, just skipping down the street with a fedora on or what?
No, I don't have a fedora on tonight, no.
Okay, all right. But you are skipping down the street. Anyway.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's just the usual thing.
Right. Listen, you call that Friday. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, look, this Chicago team, they're 13th in the Eastern Conference. You know, only 14 points, -3 goal differential. Does this feel like one of those times where we need to find a 3-point victory on the road? Does this feel like one of those moments where, okay, let's go in here and steal one and grab us 3 points on the road?
Yeah, 100%. And the thing that I do really like about Atlanta United in 2023 is if you compare the way that they've played on the road versus the way that they've played at home, and I'm not talking results, I'm talking about the way they've played, the approach, they play the same. They don't go on the road and sit back and just try to be a counter-attacking team. And I think against a team like Chicago, who, you know, even in the game when they were on the road, they didn't sit back deep. They really played a little bit more of a, I guess the best way to put it in general terms would be like a midfield trap. Like in the middle third, they were trying to create traps, and they were really difficult to play through there. And it was different than Atlanta United had seen, and they struggled with it. In a game at Soldier Field for Chicago where they need points, they've got a new manager in charge in Frank Klopas right now, and they're coming off of a disappointing game on the road where they had a 1-0 lead in Charlotte and ended up losing 2-1. I think Chicago's going to open up and try to play and get numbers forward, which will then present space to Atlanta United. And the way that they play, even on the road, they're going to take advantage of that space. This is a very winnable game for Atlanta United on the road tomorrow.
So let's talk about, obviously, the big move that happened the other day is Araujo is now going to, what is it, Flamencos? They're doing a dance or Flamingos or whatever it is. But no,
we'll get you up on the Brazilian team here soon, Flamengo.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Gesundheit. But anyway, look, the thing I'm interested in is this the start of a lot of, I don't want to say a lot maybe, but definite tweaks to what this roster is going to be through the summertime as you get toward the end of the season. I mean, look, if they can get eight figures for him, you get eight figures for him, right? And I think that there are, you know, obviously Almada and some other guys, but is this kind of the start of, okay, we're going to retool this thing and we're going to capitalize on the success that some of these guys have had for us?
I think it's maybe the continuation of that, because go back to the last offseason where you had to make some moves to clear your cap space to be able to add a couple of strategic elements. Now, look, the wild card is going to be Almada, because you just don't know when we're talking about a player with the kind of price tag that Thiago Almada could be demanding here, or could be getting from teams. And, I mean, he's going to want to get paid as well, but this is more about the transfer fee portion of it. That's a huge move, and you just don't know if it happens in the summer. You don't know if it happens in the winter. You don't know if it happens in the summer and he's loaned back for the rest of the season. This could happen. I mean, with Thiago, it could be an early in the transfer window thing where we're talking about July. It could be late in August where we're talking about this. And I think the later it goes that he doesn't get transferred out, the more it opens the possibility that he stays in Atlanta and finishes the season before joining his new team in the winter transfer window, because he'll miss preseason with his new team. And at that point, it's going to be harder for him to integrate into a new team than to stay here and play and try to win a title. So I think that's one thing to be on the lookout for. And the other is just now, what do you do in terms of replacing the designated player that is Luis Araújo? You know, do you go winger? Do you go like for like? I don't think you go like for like exactly in style of player, but do you go like for like in terms of position? Or do you move the pieces around? I mean, this is a manager in Gonzalo Pineda who has valued versatility in his players. He likes to have guys who can play a couple of different roles. So, you know, do you look for a 10? Do you look for an attacking midfielder immediately, but somebody who is comfortable playing on the wing as well? But then if Almada goes, you've got that cover and you can move him inside. You've got to create a little more versatility, I think, in your attacking pieces, and you can do that now with a designated player opening already.
So what is, I guess, their, for lack of a better term, cap space or things like that? Like, how much can they money-wise allocate to bring guys in? Because, look, this franchise has obviously never been bashful about spending money. Like, they're not pinching pennies and things like that. Like, they will go out and get star caliber players. So is it a matter of they have the resources, you know, with the designated player? But I know that there's money aspects about what you can spend and things like that. Just kind of give me an overview of that aspect of it.
So in terms of the two pieces, the one in Araújo, who we already know is outgoing, and the possibility with Almada, there are two different aspects of the designated player role, and those are separate from the cap. So we don't even have to worry about cap space in this situation. But you do have to worry about Almada is a young designated player versus Araújo, who is not. There's an age cutoff at 23. So to be able to have all the other benefits you get roster-wise with U22 spots, and I mean, we're getting deep into the weeds, the main thing is you've got to have one of the two. If you lose Almada and Araújo, which you already know you're losing one, if you lose both, you've got to replace one of those spots with a young designated player under the age of 23 to keep the rest of your roster intact the way that you want. But Araújo, in terms of just replacing that spot, you can spend what you want. It's a designated player spot. He's over that young DP threshold. You can spend what you want in salary, and you can spend what you want in transfer fee.
Last question for you, Jason. And I guess I'll phrase it this way. Like, we see young running backs come in the NFL, and coaches let them get chewed up and spit out and just burn all the tread off the tire. I mean, because you feel like you only get a few years out of high-caliber, high-quality running backs. They've got them till June 24th. Do you just burn all the tread off the tires with them? I mean, you know, you do some things differently with him. I mean, just knowing that he's not going to be here for the long term. I guess I don't know how to necessarily phrase it, but, you know, other than just do you let him just kind of play all out and see what he can really do over this next couple few weeks?
Yeah, I think you do. I think, you know, you have to be mindful of fatigue for him and the possibility, you know, that he might need a little bit of time here or there. But, yeah, and I think it's a credit to Araújo and his commitment to the team, because a lot of times in this kind of situation, we see players when they do these early transfers and they're going to go in the next window, they don't necessarily play that much for the club that they're still at. But I'm assuming in this situation, because, you know, he's on the trip, that you're going to see Luis Araújo be part of this team until that last day he's not. And Gonzalo Pineda talked about it today that, you know, he's incredibly committed to the team. I think it's probably something that was discussed with Flamengo. They're on board with it. And it's a statement, I think, of Luis's character as well, that he wants to end on a high with this club who he's always played hard for. You can talk about the production in terms of goals and assists, but Araújo has been one of the hardest working players in this team, and he really hasn't missed much time in his, you know, almost two seasons here since he joined in late 2021. So I don't think he starts missing time now.
Well, we know he's going to be with Matt Dillon and be part of the Flamingo Kids, so we've got that to look forward to.
Anyway, wow, what a reference.
Yeah. Well, we brought that up last night, so, I mean, I couldn't think of the actual movie. I knew it was Flamingo something with Matt Dillon, but I had to get the kid part of it right. I could not remember. So listen, I saw that movie in 1984. I can't tell you that with brain dead, you know, Ness in my head and all that, I can't remember that kind of stuff. Anyway, Jason Longshore, he is the color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Join me here on the waitfor.com hotline. Don't forget, tomorrow night, he and Mike Connie will be up in Chicago, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 kick. Jason, enjoy the evening. Enjoy your time in Chi-Town, and we will talk to you again here soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, as always.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. PFF has the Falcons offseason grade. That plus some other news and notes as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, now to the game. Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.